From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
What is it really going to take to heal ourselves, our communities, and our planet? I'm Alicia Silverstone, and this is The Real Heal. Do you know where your food comes from? Did it grow nearby or thousands of miles away? There are so many tasty and safe foods growing right in our communities. Eating local not only helps our bodies heal, but also helps our ecosystems thrive. In this episode, I sit down with mycologist and forager Gabrielle Serberville, who you may know from TikTok as Chaotic Forager. We talk about all the goodies that can grow in your local environment, how foraging can create a closer connection to your community, and believe it or not, how growing your own food can be easier and healthier than shopping at a grocery store. So without further ado, let's get into the real heal. Gabrielle, you have such a unique relationship with your ecosystems. And before we get into all of that, will you tell me about you?
Yeah, I am a wild food educator, a mushroom fanatic, I guess you could say. I'm a grad student, and I spend a lot of time just out in forests trying to understand them better.
So I'm just going to get right into it. I think that a lot of people don't really realize just how healing it can be to eat the food that grows naturally right in their backyard, essentially, maybe 200 miles from where they live. And I'm excited to talk to you because you have a special perspective on that. And so can you tell us about your relationship with your own local ecosystem and how it feeds you and how you feed it in return?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. I moved here not that long ago, just a couple of years ago. And
where's here?
I live in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is it sounds like a nothing town. And it's so not. There's just so much beauty around here. There's so much nature. There's so much biodiversity. And it's just in these little pockets. And so when I moved here, I just started walking. I just started walking and checking out what was growing around me, walking around the neighborhood, walking through the wooded areas. And you really start to pick up on the personality of a place when you do that and the way that things change over time. So like, I love visiting the same places over and over and over again because they are always different. Ecosystems are living, breathing things that we're part of. So the more time you spend in the same place, the more beautiful it gets. And then just when it comes to food, like there's just this beautiful reciprocity that happens when you're eating from the places that are near to you. You start to develop this really special connection with place. And it makes you want to care for place more. It makes you want to care for that tree that feeds you, that log that provides you with mushrooms, all of the beauty that's around you. You want to keep it beautiful and you want to make it more beautiful. So I find that like I go through these cycles of giving and taking with the place that I live. I participating in permaculture during the colder months when I'm not taking as much. And I'm participating in like eating the gifts that nature provides during the warmer months. And because I live in a place with distinguishable seasons, it's a really nice way to just exist in the world.
When would you say this awakening happened for you? Was it when you moved to Michigan, this first idea of taking in the beauty and then knowing that you wanted to protect it and appreciate it? Where did that start for you? Did it start recently or was that ingrained in you as a little person?
Yeah, that started for me in childhood. When I was 5 years old, my family moved to the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania and we were surrounded by blueberry bushes. I didn't know it when I was little, but a neighbor pointed them out and said, "Oh, that's food. You can eat that." And I think at that point, I was just fascinated by the fact that not just food, but like really amazing, perfect food grew in my backyard. And I would track the way that the blueberry bushes developed. So I would go out and I would look for the first flowers in the spring and I would wait for the flowers to turn to green berries and then just wait and wait and keep going out to the same trees over and over until I could finally pick berries and I could finally eat them. And it was so much of my creative imagination was just, it revolved around the natural cycle of food growing, eating food, and then winter.
You just reminded me of when I was a little girl, there was blackberry bushes just three houses down. And my mom would take us when we would walk the dogs and we would just pick blackberries endlessly. I mean, they were massive. It almost took up a whole lot of a home. And I remember the same thing, just feeling so happy that you could pick something and put it in your mouth. And I've done that with my son too at my home. His favorite fruit was blueberries. So I grew six blueberry bushes out right in front. And because I love permaculture, which I want to talk to you about more, the idea of having it as you walk in the door so you can grab it conveniently and you'll see it all the time, right? The fun we had, now he's 10, he's not as interested, sadly, but he'll come back. But the fun we had picking blueberries every single season and, you know, watching him pick his food and eat it, I just think it's so wonderful. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's so human just to like take something and put it directly in your mouth with no middleman. And the food that grows around you is just so nutritionally dense compared to the food that you can buy in a grocery store. It's just a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. So when you're out foraging, and you've said that it connects you to a time and a place in a way that nothing else does, can you tell me about the journey? So at first, you had this experience with blueberries when you were little, and then now here you are back in Michigan. When was the sort of awakening that this is something you need to put all your attention on and make you sort of an activist about it? What was the problem you saw and the thing you were trying to solve, essentially?
I think that the more I learned about wild food in my mid-20s, the more I realized how much people didn't know about wild food. And I realized that I was cooking with things that most people never talk about or taste. You know, I would go to, before I started foraging for things, like I would go to the grocery store for things like onions. And now I pick wild onions that are so much better and so much tastier and growing everywhere because they're invasive. But like most people don't even know that that's there. Most people don't know that they can walk into their backyard and pick Allium Vanilli and use it and eat it. And it's amazing. And I especially found that with mushrooms and specifically the fear of mushrooms that a lot of Americans have. You know, there are many cultures where mushrooms are like hunting your own mushrooms is just a thing you do. I mean, if you go to Eastern Europe, if you go somewhere in like Poland or Hungary, everybody goes out to the forest after it rains to pick their mushrooms. You know, people don't buy grocery store mushrooms. But then certainly like places like Japan and China where mushrooms are just a much bigger part of a person's diet. And then you come to the US and here, most people have only ever tried one kind of mushroom and decided that they either like or hate it. And most people think that if you pick and eat wild mushrooms, you'll probably die. Which is something that I try to educate about because there are just so many amazing fungi that grow in the places where most of us live that people walk right past. People don't even know that they're there.
So let's start with mushrooms. Mushrooms are delicious and I love all kinds of mushrooms, but because of the fear that people have that they're going to pick the wrong one, is there a simple education to know how to pick the mushrooms that are good and the mushroom, I mean, chanterelle mushrooms don't look the same, you know, or morels. And what's my other favorite? Oh, maitake. I love my maitakes. Oyster mushrooms. I mean, I make oyster mushroom tacos all the time. They're so delicious. But are you going out into your hiking area to find them or where are you getting those mushrooms?
Yeah, I hike. I actually, all of the mushrooms that you just mentioned are mushrooms that I forage here in Michigan. Every single one is something that I find here. So I walk, I visit parks, I visit little forests around here, I visit bogs. There are tons of places that I go. But regarding the question about like, is there a simple education? I think there is. I think that learning a few anatomical features of different fungi can really help. I usually recommend that people start with mushrooms that don't have lookalikes. So most people are concerned when they start mushroom hunting, oh, I'm going to like pick the wrong mushroom because I'm going to pick a lookalike. But you know, you can safely hunt for things like puffball mushrooms if you know a few things about puffballs. If you know that you only eat things that are pure white on the inside, you only eat them if you don't see the outline of another mushroom inside. That's pretty simple. They're pretty easy to see when you're out in the woods and they don't grow everywhere. They're pretty common here in the Midwest and like east of the Great Plains. But there are things that are like pretty safe to forage for. You know, chanterelles, they have a couple lookalikes, but there are also some things that you can learn to help you identify them. You know, they have a very distinct smell. They smell kind of like a stone fruit, like an apricot. You can peel them like string cheese and they're white on the inside. They're like a beautiful golden orange color. And you can sort of learn some things about where they grow to help you identify further. So there are good things that you can learn. And it doesn't have to be everything. You know, you can learn three or four mushrooms really, really well and forage them with confidence.
And are you having to go off the beaten path on your hikes? Because I don't see mushrooms growing on my hikes. And I'm in the woods.
Sometimes I do. I often do. I find a lot of mushrooms growing in areas with like a lot of dead wood. Mm. Mushrooms like decaying things typically. Mm. I find mushrooms in places with really old trees. So when I'm looking for mushrooms, I'm not usually looking at the ground. I'm looking at the trees. I'm looking at the landscape, the ecology. Is there a water source nearby? What does the ground feel like under my feet? And I find that that helps me a lot more than trying to pick a mushroom out of a forest.
You're saying if there is a water source, like a stream or something, that's a good indication. And then there's also dead wood from dead trees, that would be a prime spot
It can be. It really depends on the mushroom, which is the hard thing to kind of get across sometimes when you're trying to teach people about mushrooms. Like, there's no one answer. The place that I'm going to go to look for chanterelles is going to be very different from the place that I go to look for a morel. And the time of year is going to vary too. Yeah. You know, right now I could go out and hunt for oyster mushrooms and I would look for decaying wood. I would look for hardwood. I would look for places that get kind of wet and gross. And that's where I would find them. You know, I would go to a bog. I would go to a fen. I would go to somewhere like that. But that's going to be different than the places I'm going to go look for my chicken of the woods.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
If I was listening right now, I might be itching to go like, I want to go right now, but I don't know how to start. You know, I go on a walk every day with my dogs, or I go on a walk every day with my friends, or I'm walking around. How do I begin to figure out how to find food while I'm walking?
Oh my God, I love this question. So the thing that I usually tell people is don't go like deep in the woods to go find food to start. Like find things on your walk. Find things if you don't know what they are, then like that's the place to start. Like start with your own curiosity. Go like, what is that tree? And there are definitely tools that can help you. Starting with like getting a good local guide and a good national guide, I've found is really helpful for mushrooms. apps can be helpful. I don't recommend that you use an app to identify your food, but it can be a really good way to sort of narrow down what you're looking at so that you can cross-reference it in a book. There are also a ton of online groups that help people. Not everybody has access to classes and things. I know I didn't. I couldn't afford it. So I spent a lot of time just hanging out in Facebook groups for foragers. There are, I think, foraging groups for almost every state in the US. There are international foraging groups that I'm part of. And there are so many knowledgeable people there who offer their services for free. I mean, I see world-renowned mycologists answering questions in Facebook forums all the time for people. And you're going to get a little bit of training on like the things that people need to see in order to identify things. And that's also going to help you in your own personal identification journeys. I started out in Facebook groups. I found a mushroom and I didn't know what it was. And I took a bunch of pictures and uploaded them to Facebook. And somebody helped me. Somebody was kind and was able to like work around the fact that I didn't give them like everything they needed. And I was able to get an answer to my question. And I learned a ton in that process. And it spurred me on to learn more. You know, Facebook groups can sometimes be places for people to just be jerks and to show off. But more often than not, there are really kind people who are really happy to get to just info dump about the things that they love. And you can use that to your advantage. Like, please use that to your advantage.
So can you talk a little bit about, or can we talk together about, I think for me, my greatest concern, well, not my greatest concern, but one of my many concerns is that we're using too much energy and resources to live our lives. And we want to minimize that as much as possible so that we can live the healthiest, most, you know, glorious lives and spread that for future generations. And so, you know, the way I shop is I grow my food. That's my first shopping spree. I grow my own food and I go to the farmer's market, my local farmer's market. And I'm friends with all my farmers. I've known Vicky for 20 years or something. And, you know, I know that she's got the greatest oranges and she's just basically Bear's godmother at this point. She's just so sweet. But, and then there's Jimmy who has the great plants. And then there's the special lettuce lady. And like, you know, you have your people that you just trust and know that they're going to have the yummiest food. My garden first, farmer's market second. And then sometimes I play around with boxes, you know, that come like imperfect foods or, you know, CSA boxes, things like that. I have to say I have foraged in my life, but it's not a part of my shopping. Like it's not how I acquire my food on the daily or on the weekly. So I just wanted to talk to you more about why that's so important and why should people care about getting their food locally?
That's a really great question. I think that it is very, very hard in modern society to develop community, and specifically to develop community within like the place where you live. I know that when I go to my farmer's market, because I buy things from my farmer's market, some of my farmer's market purchases are things that were probably foraged, but I like supporting the people who do that. I know that I'm getting food that is way more nutritionally dense because it has not made a long journey to get there. A lot of it was probably picked that morning. I know that I can get like bread that was baked just a few doors down from where I live. And I get to know the people who do that. I love that you brought that up because it's all about people, right? It's about getting to form those relationships and feel that just like intense warmth of eating something that was produced so lovingly, so close to you. And it's a way that we do this, like this mutual support. You know, I'm paying my farmer and he's getting to produce more food. He's caring for the place where we live. I'm caring for the place where we live. And I think that's an amazing thing. And the further away, the more steps you add in between the producer and the consumer, the less our food matters to us. I may not feel as bad if I end up having to throw away something that I bought at a grocery store as I would feel if I threw away something that I picked myself or that I bought from one of these farmers that I knew put love and care into it. And it's also a good way to reduce the amount of human suffering that goes into your food, like factory farming and the human injustices that happen on large farms where migrant workers are picking your food for nothing and being horribly abused in the process and not given places to relieve themselves, which produces just like more problems with the food that we get. You know, the number of listeria outbreaks that we end up with every year is just abhorrent. And a lot of that is because of the horrible conditions that we're putting people in order to keep getting food in our grocery stores. It makes you more connected to what you're eating. It makes you care about it more. It makes you waste less when you're getting things closer to you.
Mm. You were talking about the farmer's market, and I was just wanting to add that I'm Jewish, and my son was really excited about being Jewish, and he wanted to go check out Hebrew schools. And the only one we could get to go to was on the Sunday. But the problem was we had already found our temple. Our temple was our farmer's market. And so, you know, every week we'd say, should we go to the Sunday school and check it out? Or should we go to the farmer's market? And every week consistently, we both were like, farmer's market, because it is our community. We know everyone there. It's such a primal act to go collect your food, meet with people it's a place that we know and we go back every Sunday. And then you come home and you sort of prepare food for the week. And it's just, you know, so in a way, my farmer's market is my church, you know, and just like yoga is my church, although I don't go enough, but it's really, really, you know, feels so rooted and connected to yourself and your community. It's such a powerful thing.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Ah! clearly you're passionate about this. Do you have a concern or a dream for the world? Is there something that you really want to fix that you have your eye on?
I think it comes back to that moment where I realized that people didn't know things that I thought maybe they should. This knowledge of what is growing around us was not special knowledge even 100 years ago, and certainly isn't special knowledge in other places today where people rely on the land to provide their food. What I see is a world where we lean into the things that are already here, the things that we want to see, and where we take more control over the food that we eat in a real way. You know, I run into more people now that are interested in foraging than I ever have in my entire life. And what foraging does is it just develops this huge appreciation for the place where you are. And there's something so valuable about that that can't even be properly described until somebody gets that bug, until somebody finds themselves out in the woods and they recognize something. I see this with kids all the time. You know, I run into kids on the trail sometimes, and I'll give them little free trail lessons because I love getting to teach kids this ancestral knowledge. And seeing them recognize something and that light go off is just indescribably wonderful, because I know that that child is going to grow up and they're always going to know what that plant is, or they're always going to know what that mushroom is. And it breeds this familiarity. It breeds this conversation with environment. It's so important.
I wonder if a lot of people are thinking right now, oh my God, that sounds so inconvenient, all of this. And so I wonder if you can speak to, really, is it inconvenient? And what does convenience really mean in the big picture? How do you put value where it belongs, really?
Yeah. And I'm going to be really interested to hear what you have to say about this too, because we both live lives where our food comes from interesting places. I guess that I would counter that idea. I don't think it's inconvenient. I get so much out of this. I find it inconvenient to go to a grocery store. I find it inconvenient to go somewhere and have my selection of food already laid out for me, food that may be coming from far away, that maybe doesn't taste that great. Maybe it's prepackaged. Maybe I don't need as much as I have to buy in order to make that purchase. I find it incredibly convenient to walk down the block and go pick berries. I find it really convenient to grow chicken of the woods on a log not that far from where I live, so I can just go pick it whenever I want. That's all incredibly convenient. I'm making my work so much easier for me. Maybe that's like kind of lazy of me. I don't want to get in the car and drive to the grocery store, but I get so much. Like, I'm getting outside. I'm getting to, I'm running into my neighbors. I'm eating things that I feel like I worked for, like that I directly worked for. And that's incredibly valuable. And I felt the same way when I've grown my own food. And like, going to the grocery store to pick up tomatoes is not an enjoyable experience. It takes time. The tomatoes are never good for some reason. Mm-mm. And then you get back home and you still have to cook them. But then you could go outside to your beautiful garden with gorgeous sun-ripened tomatoes and eat a few on the way back. And that is a holistically wonderful experience.
Talking about tomatoes, there's this little girl that comes over to my house sometimes, and she really doesn't like vegetables, and her mom is trying, but, you know, isn't eating that well either. So not able to. So when she comes over to my house, her mom's like, do whatever, just do the magic. And so I take her into the garden, and we were going to make a big salad together. And I have a video of this on my Instagram and on my YouTube because it's the cutest thing ever. Her little face picking tomatoes. She could not believe what the taste of these tomatoes was. And she just kept going, more, can I have more? Can I have more? And we never made it back to the kitchen with the tomatoes, I don't think, because they just all got eaten in the garden. And it was so sweet. And like what you were saying, when you see their little eyes wake up to what food can be. When she's at my house, she's eating kale and bok choy and all kinds of delicious things that she's not eating at home. And she's just delighting in them and devouring them. And I mean, I made them a plate of greens. This is also on my YouTube. I made a plate of greens and I made a bunch of greens and I guess that wasn't enough. These children ate it in 2 seconds flat. I couldn't even get a bite. So it's really amazing what we can do and how that affects them. And yeah, I mean, when it's cold, I don't love going into my garden. So I don't tend to do as much gardening in the winter because it's just my thing. Like, I'd rather go to the farmer's market then and be with my community and be all dressed warm. But in the summertime and in the spring, I'm all about my garden. And we think these things are convenient and they're not. They harm us in the long run. So all of my food choices, like you said, give me so much joy. It gives me so much joy to go to the farmer's market, to think about what I want to eat based on what I see. Like, ooh, those little turnips, those little white turnips that look so fantastic at the farmer's market that I'm like, I want turnips. What's weird to want turnips, but you want them because they look so beautiful. Or you see a celery root growing and you go, that big bulb and you go, I want that, you know? So I don't find it inconvenient at all, but it does take reprioritizing. You will reap the rewards of that tenfold, that little effort that you put in planning the week before. Oh, you know what? I would actually really like to eat healthy this week. Here's what I need to do that. Here's some inspiration from some wherever you want to find your recipes from books. I have great books, websites, whatever you can go to, pull those recipes and start preparing so that you're ahead of the game. And then you feel so good. So yes, I agree with you 100%. It's not inconvenient. It's inconvenient to be sick, not feel good, disconnected, and afraid. Those things are very inconvenient and we spend too much time in those states.
Yeah. And it is like, there's so much nuance to that conversation because there are so many people who are just struggling to get by. I mean, I have been there. It is hard. And it's really hard when somebody else owns the vast majority of your time and you're just struggling to, like, you know, not my situation, but like you're struggling to just like get your kids to school and get food in them and hope that you get to eat too at some point during your day. And like, there are systemic things that need to happen so that we can take better care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. There are massive changes that need to be made. And part of that comes back to empowering communities to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. And empowering communities to do that through food, to do that through caring for one another, to do that through like services being available locally. And I think that that's just really important to add because it can be such a privilege to like eat the way that you and I do. Like we get to choose that. And not everybody does. A lot of people have so many choices in their lives made for them by their job, by their daycare, by the government that, mm-hmm. That they don't get to make a lot of those choices. And so I think just focusing on like the free or very cheap ways that you can do that, even if it comes down to like, hey, let's sponsor some community garden plots for people to be able to grow some of their own food if they can't afford that. Like, there are some really good ways to help your community through that kind of mutual aid. And I really encourage people who have the means to do that.
I think what you said is beautiful. And I would add that people who grow food outside of their doors for people so that they can walk by and take, like you're taking, you know, just take what they need is a really beautiful thing. I would also say that the concept of privilege with food, remember that originally, back in the day, the healthiest people on the planet were the common man, not the royalty, because they ate beans, rice, and vegetables. And so, yes, we have to empower people and educate people, but I think there are a lot of people who do have privilege, but still don't know how to eat well. So I'm speaking to them. And then there are people, I mean, there's loads of those, so many of those. And then there are people who are really just trying to survive. And I totally get that. And the people that are really trying to survive, I just want to remind them that McDonald's is not the answer. It might be cheap and it might be quick, but if you can just get back to your roots and make something that your heritage taught you to make, you will find that it's cheap, it satiates you, and it's delicious. And therefore, it doesn't have to take so much time and it doesn't have to be so fancy. And so if we can help inspire and educate as much as we can, it's a good thing. My goodness, this was such a good conversation. I'm so glad I got to speak with you. I really enjoyed it. You inspired me, and I'm just grateful that you're doing what you're doing. Thank you so much, Gabrielle.
Thank you so much for having me. This was just so much fun. And I just love how you're approaching this topic, not just in your own life, but it sounds like in the lives of a lot of people.
Thank you.
To dig deeper into this episode's topic and resources, visit thekindlife.com. The Real Heal is an iHeartRadio production made in partnership with Frequency Media. I'm your host, Alicia Silverstone. From iHeartRadio, our managing producer is Lindsay Hoffman. From Frequency Media, Michelle Corey is our executive producer. Jordan Rizzieri is our producer. And Imani Leonard and Laura Boyman are our associate producers. Sydney Evans is our dialogue editor. And Claire Bidigari Curtis is our mixer and sound designer. This podcast is available on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are found.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.